Live from the Palatial Yet Not Overly Ostentatious Studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street, welcome on in to what is a interesting Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, always streaming live on YouTube. Coming up in an hour from now, Matt Leinart's going to join us. Very excited to talk to the 2004 Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. But we first got to start with the biggest joke in the NFL right now. And no, it's not the Dallas Cowboys. If you tuned in today thinking that Zach was going to eviscerate and shred the Dallas Cowboys, I will have a take on the Dallas Cowboys, but that will come 20 minutes from now. As the Cowboys, I'm not a fan of them, so it's weird to say that I'm defeated by the Cowboys. I'm just bored with the Cowboys. That game last night, I was so happy. You know, this is starting to turn into a trend. Well, sleepy Zach Gelb I'm turning into. The Tyson fight up against Jake Paul, I fell asleep. That was at least late, though. For some reason, I got home yesterday, I was wiped. Absolutely wiped. And I turned on the first quarter, and then some point in the second quarter, I fell asleep, and I woke up right as the Dallas Cowboys game was ending up against the Houston Texans. So I will get to the Cowboys in just a bit, but I don't think it is going to be as fiery and explosive as you think usually a Cowboy hater and Zach Gelb would be after another Cowboys loss. But we got to start with the Jets, because this is something that will just never get old. So the Jet, let me just tell you about the Jet fan heading into this season. Because I know I'm going to put the Jet fan into a corner and paint the Jet fan as a stupid fan. That would be disingenuous, right? I live in New York. I'm from New York. I know I'm not a Jet fan. There are some really knowledgeable and really good, passionate Jets fans. But then there are some Jets fans with, regardless about how many times this team has let them down in their life, they are the antithesis of Joe Beningo. Like, Joe Beningo is always waiting for the other shoe to fall and waiting for this team to mess it up, because that's what they've done in the entirety of his life. But there has been a cocky, arrogant, and insufferable Jet fan, and I'm talking about that portion of the fan base. One of them happens to be my best friend, who was dangerously confident heading into this season with the New York Jets, going out of their way to say 11, 12 wins, Kansas City, move over, Buffalo, the division is ours. Forget about the Texans. It does the Ravens, please, nothing. The Steelers, please, nothing. The Jets have the best roster in the NFL, and the Jets are going to go to levels that they've never gone in these people's lifetime. Think about that. And all we have been fed for the last 2 to 3 years with the Jets ended up being a bunch of malarkey, a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of hogwash, a bunch of bullcrap. Because no one overrates their team and no one overrates this Jets squad more than the Jets fans. Sauce Gardner, overrated. This Jets defense, a few years ago, they were saying, oh, we're the 85 Bears. Please. Your defense constantly lets down this team spot after spot, week after week. And all I was told from the Jet fan, which was a fair take, you know, this past offseason, was we just need Aaron Rodgers. Right? A few years ago, we just need a competent quarterback play. Look how great this defense is. Look how much talent this team has. You know, this team is unbelievable with this young core, this young nucleus. And I'm not saying there aren't some good young players on the Jets. Garrett Wilson's stud. Breece Hall is good. You know, let's slow down saying he's like Walter Payton, as some Jets fans were saying, heading into the season. He's a solid player, though. And on the defensive side of the ball, you got some pieces, but you don't have as many great pieces as you thought. And I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Aaron Rodgers, I don't care what the stats say, he has not been good in New York. Obvious fact. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. So you look at this Jets team, and the Jet fan thought they were going to be all the way up here. And we're not even at Thanksgiving, and it's been obvious for weeks that the Jets are all the way down here. Wait, hold on. Can you move that trash off the floor? I'm trying to find the Jets. They are terrible. And this is what's going to put it into perspective, how bad the Jets are. Because you know what? even though I'm a Patriot fan, I'm a fair football fan. And Jets fans went out of their way because of years and years of frustration of not being able to beat the Patriots when they're great to kick me when my football team stinks. And they elected to do that early on in the football season on that Thursday night football game. And the Patriots eventually got their revenge. But this is how bad the Patriots are. The Patriots aren't trying to be good this year. The Patriots have a bottom five roster in the league. Like, I'm fair, I'm honest. The Jets were telling us, oh, we have this great roster. We have this Super Bowl contending team. The Jets and the Patriots, through 11 weeks into this season, have the same amount of wins. There's a lot of blame to go around. I'm not saying Robert Saleh didn't deserve to lose his job. I'm not saying Joe Douglas didn't deserve to lose his job. But Joe Douglas is actually, it encapsulates what a portion of this fan base thought that this Jets team was going to be this year. Because there's so many that told me, Joe Douglas is such a good GM. Oh, he's unbelievable. Oh, look at some of these draft picks that Joe Douglas has made. Just look at the Jets have all this talent. The Jets are supposed to be this great team this year, and they're not even going to come close to sniffing the playoffs. Forget making the playoffs. Just come close to sniffing being a playoff team. And I don't know. This GM has been around now for 6 years. I know he's out today. I don't want to kick him while he's down. But he's been around for 6 years in New York. Not in some irrelevant place. In New York with the fiery media. Right? He got 6 years. Six. And the most amount of wins Joe Douglas was ever to pull in a single season was seven. And this guy was one of the great NFL general managers that Jets fans were trying to tell me about. Like, come on. What are we doing? This Jets team, overrated. And now, here's what really annoys me. Because I think there are some fans, like I'll put out an instant reaction video right when the Jets fired Joe Douglas today. And I was really hammering home the point, all right, you can move on from Robert Saleh, you can move on from Joe Douglas, but let's not bury the lead here. The man deserving of the most amount of blame right now is Aaron Rodgers. Because if you are truthful with yourself, and if you're honest with yourself, Aaron Rodgers is the true GM, Aaron Rodgers is the true head coach, and Aaron Rodgers is the true star player of the New York Jets, right? He runs the show. It wasn't Robert Saleh, and they've actually got worse since Robert Saleh's got fired, and it's really not Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas was a GM in title. Robert Saleh was a head coach in title. The GM, the head coach, and the star player, all wrapped in one, Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is somebody that is an all-time great quarterback, a top 10 quarterback of all time. A lot of teams would love to have an Aaron Rodgers. But it's amazing. When you look at his legacy, there's going to be a yeah, but. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the Jets, to be fair. But he was in Green Bay for so many years, won a Super Bowl early, and never got back to a big game. Never got back to the big game, the Super Bowl. Forget winning another one. And he's in the exclusive fraternity of all-time great quarterbacks, but then there's even an inner circle in the all-time great quarterback club, and he's not in it. He's not Brady. He's not Mahomes. He's not Montana. He's not Peyton Manning. He's not John Elway, just for starters. He's not. And those guys were significantly better leaders than Aaron Rodgers. If you look at Aaron Rodgers with the Jets, here's the most detrimental part for Aaron Rodgers' time in New York. This was a bleep show. This was a clown show. And it's enabled by a guy who knows how to point fingers but doesn't know how to take accountability. So, that's what I'll say about the Aaron Rodgers part. Where if the Jets are going to make sense here, because in season you're not going to bench Rodgers, right? You're not going to sit him down. But if you're already firing the coach and you're already firing the GM, then with 1 year left on the contract for Aaron Rodgers, you would think if the Jets are a smart organization that the Jets would move on from Aaron Rodgers after this year. But what happens if Aaron continues to echo the sentiments that he has that he wants to come back? Does the Johnson family have it in them to set aside the drama, set aside the things that they value, right? The star player, for some reason, still trying to dominate the back pages of newspapers, even though newspapers are outdated. Like, that's how the Jets run their organization. It's for clicks. That's what the Jets do. The Jets are more interested in being a reality TV show than a successful football team. with Woody Johnson running the show. But if the Jets actually want to be able to go out there and get an attractive name or two to be a head coach and a general manager of this team, you have to move on from Aaron Rodgers. You have to let them move on from Aaron Rodgers if Aaron wants to come back. Now, I'll be straight up with everybody here. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, you say, Zach Gelb, go do the ayahuasca, go into the dark cave, go be the Hall of Fame quarterback. Would you retire at the end of this year? Absolutely, I would retire at the end of this year. Aaron Rodgers not win another Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, just go out of the league right now. Retire at the end of the year. But I don't think he's going to do so. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be back in the NFL next year. And the multi-million dollar question is, do the Jets have the stones to make the obvious and right decision and then get rid of Aaron Rodgers and not run it back next year? And when I talk about things like what makes sense, what should the Jets do, what's the obvious thing, and that's moving on, it even empowers me in believing even more that the Jets are going to do the opposite. Because the Jets, like, you could tell the Jets, hey, 2 + 2 = 4. And Woody Johnson will be sitting there, whether he's in England or the U.S., I don't know. And he'll be like, no. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 7. That's what it equals. Whenever there's something obvious that smacks you right in the face, Woody Johnson does the obvious, does the different thing. He does the antithesis. As I just smacked myself in the face, and I think that did rattle me, if you're watching on YouTube. It was a little light slap. You know, I had to wake myself up, get a little extra coffee into the system today. That's how I do so, just slap myself in the face. Do that each and every morning. No, I don't. I'm not a sicko. But, like, all kidding aside, I do think Woody Johnson or Christopher Johnson, they're going to bring back Aaron Rodgers. And if that's the case, you're not going to get a marquee name to go be the GM or the coach of this team because it's not an attractive job. The Johnsons are terrible owners. The Jets roster is vastly overrated, and you don't have a quarterback, and you play in a division that has Josh Allen in it, and he's going to dominate that division for the foreseeable future. So all those things working against the Jets, what can make them a little bit more attractive? It's actually getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, because if you keep Aaron Rodgers, what does it do? Keeping Aaron Rodgers emasculates the new head coach and general manager, because Aaron Rodgers, if he's there, just his presence, he's really the guy calling the shots. He's really the guy running the show. And if you turn on him and don't do anything, everything that he wants, he will go on McAfee. He will light up the new GM. He will light up the new coach. He'll speak to the media anonymously. That's what Aaron Rodgers does. Because he's the point the finger guy. He's not a, hey, this is on me. Look at Green Bay. How many times do we hear about the defense? How many times do we hear about them not getting him a number two wide receiver? How many times do we hear about the special teams? And then the games where the offense would be the reason that they lost, no one ever say, oh, it's Aaron. And Aaron wouldn't say, oh, hey, you know, that's my fault. I got to be better. No, that wasn't the case. So if the Jets are smart, which we know they're not, the Jets need to move on from Aaron Rodgers because it doesn't make sense to move on from the coach, move on from the GM, and at the end of the year, not move on from the quarterback. And now let me address some Jets fans that are really stupid. If you are a Jet fan right now that sees my messages on social media, or you hear me on the radio right now and you go, what is this blowhard talking about? The Jets are attractive. The Jets have this great young core. The Jets are a job that I would want to be the head coach or GM for. What did you tell me before this season? You told me before this season how great this roster was, how great this defense was, how great this team was. And where are you at right now? You're a 3-1 football team. You have the same record as a team with the bottom 5 roster in the Patriots. So if you're trying to still puff up this team as if they're going to be great and this is some attractive job with Woody Johnson owning the team, you're just delusional. You like to get tortured. You like pain. If you can't understand why this job is unattractive. Now, it could be slightly more attractive if you get rid of Rodgers, but I don't expect the Jets to do that. So with this job right now being undesirable, I don't think you're getting the top of the line names. The Jets have to settle. And I will throw out 2 names out there that some Jets fans have already dismissed. Some of them have appreciated and said, oh, considering the circumstance, I'm a realistic Jet fan. Those are not 2 bad names. GM, Lewis Riddick. Head coach, Brian Flores. Lewis Riddick hasn't been hired yet to be a general manager. So the better jobs that are out there, I can't anticipate he's going to get that. Brian Flores currently has a legal situation with the league. He's a heck of a defensive coordinator. And he was a good head coach in Miami. Unfortunately, at the end, and it was his fault, it was his biggest flaw, he didn't have a good relationship with the quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. But Brian Flores did overachieve at times with what the expectations were expected with the Miami Dolphins. The Jets need no-nonsense guys because the Jets are all, right now, a giant walking clown show. It's like, step right up. Here comes the car. 75 clowns come out of it, and they're all in green and white. You need someone to clean up this circus. You need someone to clean up this bleep show. And you're not going to get the best names. You're not going to get the best candidates. But if you could walk away with Lewis Riddick as the GM and Brian Flores as the head coach, at least I know there won't be any nonsense. At least I think those two guys could walk in and say, hey, it makes sense to move on from Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if Woody Johnson, Christopher Johnson will still do it. But those are two guys that are smart football guys. And I think that's the best. Like a name on those caliber, head coach and GM, is pretty much the best the Jets could do. So that would be my advice. Take it from me. This is going to sound like a really arrogant thing I'm about to say. Take it from a six-time Super Bowl champion, right? Take it from someone that's seen his team win six Super Bowls. I know what it's like to win. I know what it's like to identify good coaches and good general managers. How many times we have a no-name college coach on, and then they go on to become this big deal. You know, the Jets should hire me to lead their search committee. Whatever search committee you're going to hire, you're going to waste a bunch of money. Hire Zach Gelb. And Zach Gelb will deliver Lewis Riddick as the general manager and Brian Flores as the head coach. And then I will want nothing to ever do with the Jets organization ever again. Okay, if I'm just being honest. So, do you think the Jets are an attractive job? Should Aaron Rodgers be back next season? And give me a name or two that you think would be realistic for the Jets when it comes to their GM and head coach. And some people said, oh, what about Mike Vrabel? Mike Vrabel's too good for the JATS Jets. So if you think you get a Mike Vrabel, please. You actually probably thought that the Jets were going to be like this 13-14 win team this year, which they may have 13-14 losses. They're not going to have 13-14 wins. That is clear. Who's going to be coaching the Cowboys next season? One of these four names have to be coaching the disastrous drama Dallas choking Cowboys next year. I'll tell you those four names next and how many of those names are realistic. We'll get to that on the other side. It is the Zach Gelb Show. So I had a lot of tweets when the Jets fired Joe Douglas today. A lot of them. You know, it's kind of impressive how long Joe Douglas lasted as the GM of the Jets. 7-9, 2-14, 4-13, 7-10, 7-10, and 3-8. 6 years and zero playoff appearances. I know he drafted some good players, but usually don't see a guy with that record get that long of a leash in New York. I also had an instant reaction shredding Aaron Rodgers. And then what I opened up the show with, talking about how this isn't a desirable job. And let's say guys like a Lewis Riddick or a Brian Flores would be a good 1-2 punch for the Jets moving forward. This tweet, though, I thought was my best, Stu, if I'm going to be honest with you. And I've been able to break news before in the past. So people that follow me for sometimes breaking news, I think when they see me start a tweet with sources, they go, oh, what nugget does Gelb have? Oh, this was clearly in jest. Sources say Aaron Rodgers met with Woody Johnson today, and the two have delivered or devised a plan called Make the Jets Watchable Again. Aaron and Woody will target RFK Jr. to be the next GM, and Grins adjust Mike, radio legend Mike Francesa, to coach the team. I got a great response from E. Mueller on Twitter with his handle being E. Mueller 1234915. The plan should be called Make Aaron Great Again, which I thought was a very, very good line by E. Mueller. But that was also another part of this, that Aaron was going to be the VP pick for RFK Jr. Now, Stu, we know with the way that the election did go, that obviously Trump won and RFK Jr. is now part of his team. But could you imagine if Aaron would just walked away and said, I'm going to go explore the politics side of this and I'm going to go team up with RFK Jr.? It almost would have done the Jets a favor. Now, at the time, he would have been shredded for it because the Jet fan at that time thought, okay, Aaron Rodgers could be really good, which is fair, right? And this team does have some talent, even though a lot of the talent is overrated, but there are some talented young pieces. And after getting robbed of last year because of the Rodgers injury, you would have liked to have seen a year of Aaron Rodgers, but knowing the way that this has played out with this football team having three wins, as we head to week 12, geez Louise, Stu, I think it almost would have been better off if Rodgers would have said, hey, RFK Jr., I'm actually interested. Let me go be your vice president.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I think everyone would have been better off. The Jets, Rodgers, just everyone, all of us.
Do you have a name for the Jets that you would like to see be the next head coach? Is there a name out there that you think is attainable? Just wondering.
Not really. I mean, it's probably going to be like a coordinator. Like, I don't think they can get a Ben Johnson.
Or a retread.
Or Kingsbury. Probably someone even like
Matt
less.
Nagy?
Yeah, because someone less, because like you said in the open, like, it's not an attractive job. Like, they're not going to get some, they're not getting Belichick, they're not getting Vrabel, they're not getting Coach Prime. I don't think they're getting Ben Johnson. Like, I don't know.
Well, Ben Johnson wouldn't go to the Commanders. I know the Commanders have changed their image, and they didn't have Daniel Snyder as the owner, but if he thought the Commanders weren't a job that was desirable enough for him with the second overall pick in the draft, why would he then go to the Jets when you have to inherit this mess, assuming that, like, do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be back? Because Jake Asman, you know, our buddy, our pal, he was going back and forth with me on social media today, and he goes, you know, Aaron's not going to be here. And I'm like, with all due respect, Jake, like, I love Jake. Jake's a friend, and, you know, we'll go out for dinner from time to time in the city. Like, good dude. But I go, you were also the same person that told me the Jets were going to be this unbeatable team this year. You told me they were going to be unstoppable. You told me they were going on a deep playoff run this year. So, I just kind of feel as if the Jets, it makes no sense. But the Jets never do anything that makes sense. I think they're going to run it back with Aaron Rodgers. The best thing to happen to the Jets this offseason would be at the final game of the season or a few weeks afterwards, Aaron Rodgers puts out a social media post. Or maybe he takes a video from the cave when he's on some ayahuasca and he just says, hey, I'm going to retire. I'm it. I'm done. It's over. That's it. But if he wants to come back, which he said it, that he plans on coming back next year, I don't think the Jets are going to move on from him. They should, Stu, but I don't think they will.
I agree they should, and I also agree that they won't and he won't. He'll be back next year.
Who's the bigger bleep show right now? The Jets or the Cowboys? Hold on. Let me do this. Before you answer the question, let me ask it to you a different way. All right, welcome back in on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. This is typical national radio, 855-212-4227. I want your huge opinions. Who's more of a disaster, the Cowboys or the Jets? Once again, the phone line, 855-212-4227. Stu?
So I didn't think either team would make the playoffs, but I thought they would both be competitive. I guess the one I'm more shocked that the Cowboys are not competitive. Like, I could have seen,
really?
I could have seen the Jets just because of the age of the quarterback or an injury. Like, I could have seen like a 5-win team, but the Cowboys, I didn't think they were going to be good, but I didn't think they'd be dreadful.
I will be fair. I thought the Jets would make the playoffs. I thought there was a chance they could be the third team in the AFC East and miss out. So I was wrong on that. But early on in the offseason, I got on the radio, and people accused me of just using the Cowboys for clicks. But I said that the Cowboys weren't going to make the playoffs. Because at the time, Dak didn't have a new contract. McCarthy didn't have a new contract. And Jerry Jones said they were going all in. Pause. Skip Bayless, pause. My ass! Right? And they did nothing. They got worse. So I thought the Cowboys were going to have a massive fall from grace. So I didn't have any expectations for the Cowboys. I had expectations that the Jets, I never thought they were going to a championship game. I never thought they were going to a Super Bowl. But I thought they could win a playoff game this year. And I thought they would then bow out in the divisional round. Like, that was on the table. That was a possibility. So since I had a higher expectation for the Jets, I would say I'm more disappointed and the Jets are a bigger disaster. Because I thought the Cowboys, at best this year, were going to be a 9-8 football team. At best. I think I predicted them to go 8-9. But how about these numbers? In their last 6 home games, and I verified this math with a calculator because I don't trust my regular Temple math. But in their last 6 home games, the Cowboys in just the first 30 minutes of football, the first half, in those last 6 home games, have been outscored 141-51. 141-51. Last 6 home games, first half. If you say, how about the full 60-minute picture, Zach? Well, they're 0-6, and they've been outscored 235-101. So, Stu, you're right. The Cowboys are non-competitive. And the Cowboys, they are circus. We've seen, though, Jerry Jones one time before move out of the way a little bit when he wanted Bill Parcells. And Jerry Jones is going to have to move out of the way a little bit if he wants to save this football team. Because there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And I think next year, coaching the Cowboys, Belichick is in play. I think Mike Vrabel will be in play. I do think Ben Johnson would say no. And I don't think Deion Sanders is going to the NFL yet. We talked about this yesterday. I think if Coach Prime's going to the NFL, it will be wherever Shador goes, but it's not going to be instantly. Like after a year or two of Shador playing and then the coach flames out, then he will go there. But if you want to talk about fit, Stu, and it's funny that I bring up this name because it could fit for the Jets and for the Cowboys. What about Rex Ryan? Because you may say, Zach, what are you talking about? Let me address it from the Cowboys standpoint. Rex Ryan loves drama. Rex Ryan is a fun coach. Rex Ryan, it may not be the best hire for them because then Jerry will be Jerry under Rex Ryan. There won't be a change. But I could see Rex Ryan being a guy that the Cowboys, big personality that the Cowboys would bring in if it's not Belichick. Now, Belichick, to me, I think is going to be their number one target. And Jerry even said so basically before the start of the season when he goes, oh, I think I could work with Bill Belichick when Mike McCarthy is still under contract. And then another name, when you look at the Jets, I know we went through a bunch of candidates. I don't think the Jets are going to be a prime job. And that's why throughout there, Lewis Riddick and Brian Flores together, you know Rex Ryan wants the Jets job. But will you go back to your ex and will you bring him back? Will Rex Ryan ever be a head coach again in the NFL still?
I would say no.
I would agree. I would agree. But you could throw the name out there. But I would, like, if I want Rex Ryan to go anywhere this offseason, it's kind of the Cowboys. Him and Jerry Jones, from a content perspective, him and Jerry Jones would be content gold. Let's go to, is this Vic in Virginia? 855-212-4227. Vic wants to chime in. Go ahead, Vic.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. I listen to the show all the time.
Thank you.
Here's what I would say. If I was Jerry Jones, one, I would leave the GM head coach alone, let them do what they got to do. I would sit in my box, collect the check, because I got to pay Zach, what, $240, and he's doing absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be that guy to kind of bring the Cowboys back, and I'm definitely not a Cowboys fan. He was supposed to be that guy to bring the Cowboys back. And, I mean, for the last 2 years, all he's done is suck. They gave him a franchise tag, gave him this nice paycheck. Now he's claiming to be injured, and all he's doing
well, he
is
hurt. Hold on. The hamstring is off the bone, for crying out loud.
I got that. But, I mean, before then, he was playing like he was injured. He was just there to collect a check. My thing is, if you're paying a guy that
well,
kind
Vic,
of money,
Vic, 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 I am not a Dak Prescott supporter. I'm the farthest thing from it. I said the Cowboys should not pay him. I don't think we could question the competitive nature of Dak Prescott. He's a nice guy. He's a good competitor. He's just not a great quarterback.
I would have traded him a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong for that, but there's a difference in saying that you would move on from someone a long time ago and then basically just saying he's pretending to be injured. Was that James Jones on the line, for crying out loud? I'm not going to lie. When I saw the name Vic in Virginia, I thought it was Sully. I thought it was going to be one of those times where Sully calls in under like some fake name and we're going to hear some Bostonian accent talk about the Dallas Cowboys right there. Let me go quickly to Mike in Pennsylvania next up on the Infinity Sports Network. Mike, what's shaking?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great, Mike. What do you got?
I think Aaron Glenn is the best option for either Cowboys or Jets as head coach.
I think the Cowboys.
He's played for both.
Well, here's. I'll let you finish, but let me just real quickly say this. I think the Cowboys, even though I don't view them as attractive, I think they will have a bigger pool to select from. For the Jets, if you want to tell me, and it's a tough sell after you just went with the first time, you know, you just went with a defensive coordinator as a head coach. Aaron Glenn, though, is a name that the Jets, I think, could get, because I don't know how many more teams are going to be knocking on the door to legitimately hire Aaron Glenn. I'd be fine if the Jets hired Aaron Glenn.
Amen to that, brother. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Yeah, you got it, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. Good suggestion right there. But that's like the kind of name that the Jets are going to be in play for. Jerry will do whatever it takes to get somewhat of a name, I think, in there. This, like, say what you want about McCarthy. McCarthy has had 3 12-win seasons. He's a name. You know, there's been times where he hasn't hired a name, but there's a lot of times he at least makes a splashy kind of hire. Doesn't mean it's going to work. I think he'll make a splashy hire. The Jets are going to have to settle for someone. And that's why I threw it out there. If they had to settle for Brian Flores, I think Brian Flores, if he didn't have the lawsuit right now, would be an attractive name. And I understand the concerns about what happened with Tua Tagovailoa, but maybe he's learned from that. And look at the job he's done with this Vikings defense. That Vikings defense has been phenomenal. So Aaron Glenn's another name that would be Jet quality. I don't think it would be Cowboy quality, but good phone call there from Mike in Pennsylvania. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, coming up at the top of the hour. We'll connect with Matt Leinart, the 2004 Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. A lot to delve into in the college football world, but when we come on back, we got to get to some superstar shoutouts. Who's the NFL player, NFL coach, college football player, college coach that we are going to highlight this week? We'll get to that on the other side. Update time first, though. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Another week in the books. Who stood out on the gridiron? We give you our superstar shout-outs right here on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, let's start off in the NFL this week, Stu. And I will go down to New Orleans, where they are clogging toilets as we speak at a record-setting pace because of their new interim coach, Darren Rizzi, who is now 2-0. How about this emotional uptick that the Saints have had? So, big reason why they won that game up against the Brownies is not only because the Browns stink, but Taysom Hill, 138 rushing yards in the game, 3 rushing touchdowns, also had 8 receptions for 50 yards, and we'll forget about the interception that he threw, but he did complete a pass as well for 18 yards, so Taysom Hill is my superstar shout-out of the week.
All right, for mine, I will go with Lions quarterback Jared Goff. He had that kind of disastrous 5-interception game against the Texans the week before.
Which they still won, by the way.
Which they still won, but he rebounded nicely against the Jags. 24 of 29, 412 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Now has 20 passing touchdowns, which ranks 4th in the NFL.
Now, if we would have said like 3-4 years ago, as we get to my superstar coaching shout-out of the week, that Sean Payton and Taysom Hill would be my coach and my player, I'd be like, oh, maybe Brady Papinga was right when he came on this network and said that Taysom Hill was going to be a top 5 quarterback in the league. Or Mike Westhoff, who said that Taysom Hill is basically Lamar Jackson except a better arm. Both things that have been uttered on this show, not by me, but by guests that we love and sometimes respect, you know, all kidding aside. But how about what Sean Payton has done with the Broncos? I'll be honest, I wasn't a believer. I wasn't. But when he has the way that Bo Nix is playing, 28 of 33 for 4 touchdowns, 307 yards, and you had a solid Falcons team. Like, no one looks at the Falcons and they go, oh, they're great. Oh, they're spectacular. But that's a good football team. They're going to win their division. They're going to have 10 wins probably. And that game wasn't even close. That game wasn't even, it was 38-6. It was absolutely embarrassing. So I'm giving a big shout out this week to Sean Payton. Stu, who's your coach?
All right, I will go with another AFC West head coach, and that is, of course, Jim Harbaugh.
I know who's got it better than us?
Nobody. 7-3 now, the Chargers. I never would have thought they'd be this good. And Justin Herbert hasn't even been incredible. It's really just been a whole team effort, and you're really just seeing that Jim Harbaugh year one effect, like he had at Michigan, like he had with the 49ers. Just 7-3, and it looks like they're going to be in the playoffs.
You know what it is? It's Michigan football. Michigan men football. Big offensive linemen. Toughness. Good defense. Pound the rock. And put the quarterback in a position to succeed. That's a Michigan man. Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. What's that screamo? Is that Ryan Day? Oh, no. Don't worry, Ryan. Jim Harbaugh's not coming back to college. He's in the NFL. He's got that dopey show clause. All righty, let's get to the college world. By the way, before we get to the college world, Stu, do you feel better about your football fandom these days with how much we're shredding the Cowboys, how much we're shredding the Jets? Usually this time of the year is reserved for shredding the Raiders. The Raiders are just so bad that, you know, it's like beating up someone that has just been beaten down so many times in their life, it's just not even fun anymore. So do you feel a little bit better about your team's future?
Yeah, I feel fine. Just keep losing. That's all I say. If they win some of these games, that's when I'm going to be kind of annoyed.
Did you see that video of Mark Davis from the luxury box this past weekend? He didn't look too happy.
He didn't, but I mean,
I don't know what to make of the video. Is Antonio Pierce coming on back?
I don't know. I don't think there's a guarantee he's going to come back. I still think he does come back, but if you told me they fire him, I wouldn't be totally stunned either.
That's the most week-to-week I am with all the coaches that could potentially get fired. One week I'm adamant he's come back. The next week I'm adamant that he's going to get fired. I don't have a damn clue if I'm being honest. All right, let's get the college superstar shout-outs, then we'll get back to the phones. 855-212-4227. Carson Beck. I've been very critical of this man, and deservedly so. But he could still walk away from this season with a very positive season if you just keep on taking care of business. He up against a very good Tennessee defense. He did that 25 of 40, two passing touchdowns, 347 passing yards. And oh yeah, by the way, had a big rushing touchdown. Georgia, they're back. They're back. They're going to be in the college football playoff tonight in the bracket when that rankings come out. I have my 12 teams that I think will get in and how they'll be seated. I've been pretty damn good. Spot on week one, and then week two, I just had two teams I just had to flop. I think it was ninth and 10th team or something like that. I just had to flop. But outside of that, we've been nearly perfect. I think this week's going to be tougher, but we'll see if we can get to that. But Carson Beck, long answer short. Well, really long answer being long, and you know what I mean. Carson Beck's going to get a superstar shout out. Just, whatever I'm saying. Makes sense, right? I'm the host of this show. I am the captain now. Stu, what do we got?
I'm going to go with Lenore Sellers, the South Carolina quarterback. They beat Missouri 34-30 on Saturday, and he accounted for all five touchdowns. He had five passing touchdowns, 353 passing yards. He hadn't had more than two passing touchdowns in a single game this season, so it was really a breakout game for him, and they're up to 19th in both the coaches and AP polls.
And I love me some Shane Beamer. He's my coach of the week at South Carolina. How about those Cocks right now? The South Carolina Gamecocks, they've won four in a row. And outside of the Ole Miss game this year where they got blown out 27-3, they lost to LSU, a game they should have won by three. They lost to them. You had that great second half up against A&M where you win. You only lose to Alabama by two. This team has three losses, and only one time you're like, ugh, they didn't play well. And that was up against Ole Miss. That's a very good football team at 7-3, and I love what they're doing. You just wish they had one fewer loss so they could be in the actual mix to go make the college football playoffs. But I love what Shane Beamer's doing, so he's my coaching shout-out of the week. Stu, send this home.
All right, my college head coach is John Summerall, the head coach of Tulane. He has the Green Wave up to 9-2.
How do you say that?
John Summerall?
No.
Green Wave, Tulane?
Tulane.
Right? Tulane.
I don't know. You had like a little southern twang.
Tulane. 9-2. They're up to 20th. They're in the AAC championship game, and in 2 years, he's 23-4. So he's done a really good job there.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's an out-of-the-box good one there, Stu. I like that at Tulane or Tulane. I don't know who's right now anymore. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Those are some superstar shout-outs. Let's get to Daryl in Minnesota. Wants to get back in on the possibility of the Jets hiring Brian Flores. Daryl, what's shaking?
Hey, what's going on? First time, long time. I was out of the truck when your screener said that you mentioned Brian Flores. Just to piggyback on what you said, Zach, he'll be a homecoming. He's from the Bronx. He's familiar with the AFC East. And I think he'll be able to – the defense was supposed to be the strength of that team this year. And I think if B-Flow gets in there, he'll be able to get those guys to crank it up a notch and bring some enthusiasm, man. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Daryl. No, Daryl, it's a good point, and I appreciate the phone call. When I look at Brian Flores, here are the positives. Good defensive-minded coach, right? Had some success in Miami and overachieved. Here would be the negatives. Like, as someone that even suggested Brian Flores, and I think the Jets could get him. He had a bad relationship with Tua Tagovailoa. I don't think Aaron Rodgers should be back next year, but I think he will. So can he coexist with Aaron Rodgers? And then the other thing is, even though he's a no-nonsense guy, a big reason why Belichick assistants haven't had a lot of success in this league is they think they're Bill Belichick, but they don't have the credentials. They don't have the rings as a head coach. So he needs to kind of be more of a human, and be a little bit more, I guess, strategical in how he implements that toughness, no-nonsense approach from Brian Flores. But I think names like Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn, those are names the Jets could get. I think Rex Ryan would love the job. He would crawl back. you know, from the Bristol, Connecticut studios to New York for the job, but I don't think the Jets are going to hire him. But those are the kind of names that the Jets could be in play for. If you think they're getting Mike Vrabel, if you think they're getting, you know, Belichick ain't going there. You know, they're not getting Ben Johnson. Those marquee names they're not getting, so you're going to have to settle. And I would take a risk on Flores. Would the league allow him to get hired with the lawsuit? I think they would. I really do, because then it kind of negates any points in his actual lawsuit. So I think that would be a savvy move by the Jets. But the bigger thing here is Rodgers going to be back? Because if Rodgers is there, you can't build anything in the first year, because your head coach and your GM are just going to be emasculated, because this is still Aaron Rodgers' team and this is still Aaron Rodgers' show, whether that's right or wrong. So the Jets need to move on from Aaron Rodgers this year. I just don't think they will. Alrighty, we are approaching the top of the hour. Let's take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You can always get me on social media at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, on Twitter and Instagram. When we come on back, Matt Leinart is going to join us. The former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at USC back in 2004. Now does a great job with Big Noon Kickoff. And he has a podcast, actually, with Jerry Ferrar. You know, Turtle from Entourage. And that, like, podcast is booming. You know, if Big Justice and AJ were here, they'd give that two booms. Boom! Boom! Matt Leinart coming up next. I'm a clown today. It is the Zach Gelb Show.